Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to the Dodgers Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Thanks for rocking with us after the Dodgers. They get the dub over the Washington Nationals by a final score of 6-2. They get a much-needed bounce-back win. They improved it 12-8 on the season. The big story tonight, Mookie Betts, who was outstanding, his third career five-hit game. He goes 5-for-5. Andy Páez, he gets a single on the first pitch you ever saw in the show. He goes 1-for-4, had a couple of strikeouts. We're talking about his MLB debut. Kyle Hurt, he was back in the show. He went 2 innings. A lot of people over on the X saying he should have gone longer. Ryan Yarbrough, he was the bulk guy. He goes 5 innings, gave up 2 hits, 2 earned runs, had 3 strikeouts, no walks. But the Dodgers, they get the win. 13 hits, 6 runs. 6 runs on 13 hits. The Nationals, 2 runs on 6 hits. But yeah, a much needed bounce back win for this Dodgers team. Had a little issue with the YouTube feed, but I believe we have that fixed. So just let me know down below in the comment section if you're watching us over on YouTube, the number one Dodgers postgame show on YouTube. And it's all thanks to you guys. Now, quick reminder, if you want to be eligible for all of our giveaways, be sure to subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit the like button, also comment done down below. We're getting close to 90,000 subscribers. Once we get there, we will be giving away a brand new Dodgers Mookie Betts jersey. So definitely be sure to be subscribed. So we're doing tons of giveaways the entire year. But let's dive in the comment section. You guys know how we get down here. First thing I want to see, where are you represent from Dodgers Nation from tonight? What city are you in? Also, who is your player of the game? Has to be Mookie Betts, right? But let's go. AJ Alexander, Mookie is good at baseball. Get a $9.99 super chat. I'm going to hit you with one of these. That was me on X that told you about the feed. I can't super chat on X. Thank you so much, Lorenzo. Really appreciate you. That means a lot, man. Helps the channel. Definitely use it to really help us grow, and it's awesome. YouTube working fine for Robbie Pearson. The Blue Mamba, I like that. Daniel Smith, that's a fire take. It's a fire take from Daniel Smith. The Blue Mamba, the new nickname for Mookie Betts. The Mookie mentality. We've got Nando. Nando, if I had no arms and was blind, I could get more hits than Chris Taylor. Wow, you are bringing it. I mean, the average is down to 29. We had someone say the other day you guys are just very crazy about your takes on Chris Taylor. Got to give you one of these, though. Yeah, anytime I see a burn, anytime you see a rose, that's what you'll see. But Nando, welcome to the chat. We got Noise by Noel. Doug, who has the most aura on the Dodgers right now? Rate your top three. I would say the aura, man, I mean, you got to start right at the top with Shohei Ohtani behind him. I think you have to really go Mookie Betts. And today, this is probably a bold pick because there's players on this team that have accomplished more than this guy. There are players on this team that are multi-time all-stars, that are future Hall of Famers, that have done so much more. But just being around Yoshinobu Yamamoto, this guy has the swagger, Tim. He's got the it factor. I think that the confidence that he displays is just so off the charts. He oozes the confidence. He came over and he talked to the Japanese media because he had a famous Japanese piano player in attendance, and the smile, the vibes. He's got the Chanel bags, the Louis bags. He's got the hair. He looks like he's a pop star. But yeah, you got to be Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Those are my top three right now. Of course, aura is like the new him, right? He's him. He's got the aura. So feeling that. Dodgers, everything. With all that, we are still first in the division. That's from Dodgers, everything over YouTube. Yeah, I think it's really important to acknowledge that and recognize that this is a long season, and the Dodgers haven't gotten close. They haven't came close to playing their best baseball. They are still dealing with some injuries in key positions. They're still a team that's right around 95 to 99 wins, depending on the day as far as the projections go. So they're going to go on a run. You're going to see your Dodgers team win 20 of 21 games. I mean, you'll see them go crazy. I don't know if it'll be that extreme, but they're going to go on a run where they're winning 7 to 8 of every 10, 11 games, and you're really stacking up a really, really nice record. But let's dive right into this one with the top story. The top story has to be Andy Páez making his debut, very first at bat, very first pitch, and he singles to right. Check out Andy Páez, a little inside out job, singles to right field, second inning, and you have to feel great for him. In his very first at bat, you just see this guy does not look nervous. If you told me that Andy Páez was in his third or fourth year in the show, I would believe you based on his demeanor. I was in the dugout before the game. He was talking to reporters, and Páez said that he got the call around 2 a.m. and he called his family, and his family was crying and they were going crazy, and he told everyone just to relax, everyone just to calm down, right? And I think that is kind of the mindset he has when he's playing baseball, that he's very level-headed and he can handle this. He can handle not only making his big league debut, but being a guy that can go out there and perform on a team that has this much pressure, that has these expectations. I think Andy Páez, he's a special player. He's a special player, and on the night, he had the one hit, goes one for four on the night, had two strikeouts, kind of swung underneath a fastball up and in. And then the other at bat, the lineout, I mean, the exit velocity there was high. I mean, it was over 100 miles per hour. It was a hard hit ball. So I love the approach. I love the swing. I love the hard contact. I love the versatility in the outfield, the athleticism, being able to play right. This is someone who has a 70 grade arm, right? 70 out of 80 and 60 grade power. You just don't find that growing on trees. So, hey, they got to turn the Páez on this outfield picture, and they have to say, you know what, we're going to give this guy the runway. And Dave said before the game that he's going to get some runway. He's not going to be strictly platooned. He's going to get the at-bats he needs while Jason Hayward is out. And if he makes the most of those at-bats, I think the best thing for Andy Páez right now is just to make sure you make it a difficult decision. That has to be the goal. Go out there, compete, do your best, perform at the best of your ability, but make it hard on them to deny you, to send you back down. Because if he produces, hits the ball hard, and he gives some pop and some juice to the bottom of that lineup, I think you have to run with Páez and see if he could be that guy. We got Chief. Nobody on the face of the planet could give Chris Taylor the green light on 3-0. We'll talk some Chris Taylor. Trust me, I have some thoughts on CT3. Mosey, Dodger for life from Meridian, Idaho, by the way, of Carson, California. So you're repping out there. Really appreciate you. Get DMAC on Sportsnet LA broadcast. What up, Tyler? Always rocking with us, man. You know, I appreciate that. That's a fire take over there on Facebook. I don't know why Mookie and Shohei can't get hot together. Moonlight. Yeah, they have. Look, we'll talk about Shohei, too. And the thing about Shohei, had a couple singles tonight. He's now 1-for-19 with runners in scoring position. But you saw the ground out. That was also the hardest hit of the game. The ground out he had was the hardest hit of the game when he had an opportunity with runners in scoring position. It was 107.7 miles per hour off the bat there in the second inning and had a 360 expected batting average. So he's hitting the ball hard on some of those opportunities to runners in scoring position. I think it's, look, he's going to go up there and try to do damage no matter what. But yeah, is he going to bring a little bit of a different approach in some of those situations? Maybe you start to see that. Remember, this is someone who played in Anaheim, right? They couldn't hit sand if they fell off a camel there at the bottom of the lineup for so many years. He's probably looking at it first, looking at second, be like, why are my teammates on those bags, on those pizza boxes out there? What are they doing out there? I'm not used to this. So he's someone who, when it comes to opportunities of runners in the scoring position with men on base, he was below league average for so many years. Maybe that's a tiny little factor. I don't think it's that big of a factor at all, but I think it may be just a little bit of a factor in that one. We got Dunn. We got West LA, your mama. We got AJ Alexander, CT0. Oh, this is Cole from AJ Alexander. We got CT.030. Dude has a .030. .30 batting average. Yikes. Is CT3 long for this team? That's from Steve on Facebook. We got done. We got Noise by Noel again, by the way. Noise by Noel. Always bringing that noise. Thank you for answering my question. You have the most aura of anybody I've ever seen. Wow. Man, look at my aura, my X aura. I'm in the 100 percentile, according to Noise by Noel. Let's get it. Yo, Doug, what up? Deep Fried Beans. We got Chief Barnes might get one of the, if he hits from, Chief says Barnes might get one out if he hits from the ladies' tees or second base. Hey, you guys, we got to put to bed the Austin Barnes slander for a couple of days. We got Pajes, a big dude. Pajes looking fierce. We got, hey, D-Mac, always a good day when there are two streams. That's from Mitchell Hopkins. $1.99 super chat from Danny Park. You know, you get one of these. When Miggy Vargas being promoted, keep crushing it. Hey, look, I mean, perfect. Miguel Vargas, I'm sure they had a little bit of a decision to make as far as Vargas versus Pajes. They went with Pajes, the guy who's the hottest hitter at the minor league level. They look smart tonight. He gets a hit in his first at bat. Lorenzo Gatta says, if your average could also be your teammate's age, it's time for some changes. You guys are bringing it on the CT3 stuff. Chief, Taylor is only hitting 29 points higher than any of the hot dog vendors. Yeah, I mean, that is... Like when you put it that way, it definitely is a little concerning. It's definitely a little concerning when you consider the slump he's in. I mean, I'm getting visions of a 0 for 54 Chris Davis slump that we saw a few years back. I mean, will it get that bad? Will they let it get that bad? That's the big question. I mean, he is someone who has on a 4-year, $60 million contract, and he has one more hit than everyone in the chat. He has one more hit than myself. He went into this game going 1-4-33, and that slump is just continuing to get worse. But yeah, let's start right at the top here, and then we'll really dive into this game. We got Chris Taylor. We got, hey, Dougie Fresh, you need to have a talk with Hogslop talking trash on Will Smith. I'm not mad about Will Smith. By the way, someone photoshopped me saying while I was in the dugout doing an interview and they had my name on it. Look, guys, Will Smith, he's elite. He's an all-star. If this is probably a Padres fan, by the way, how many Padres fans have you met outside of San Diego in the last decade, right? Okay, like they're acting like they're relevant. They're making t-shirts out of that. That is just an absolute t-shirts out of that little statement. Come on now. Act like you've been there. Oh, wait, they haven't. Nando390, Boomer Assassin, my wife, strikes out Chris Taylor. We got to finish it for that. D-Mac, did you think of... I'm still working on your name for my slow pitch softball. So I got some cooked up for you though. Maybe I'll tell you them on tomorrow's show. Chris Taylor and Jesse Mendoza. We got Tiana. Don't worry about Showtime. We need to worry about Chris Taylor. Okay, so let's dive into this one. And when it comes to Chris Taylor, look, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I don't believe the Dodgers are going to let him go 1-for-54, 1-for-60. At some point, he's either going to be phantom IL'd. And when that happens and he's phantom IL'd, then he's going to be sent down to Arizona probably, and they'll try to rework his swing. They'll try to fix his mechanics. I saw Chris Taylor on the field before the game, and he's getting after it. I mean, he's got the iPad on the stand. He's looking at every single angle. He's putting in, what I love you back, Jimmy. He's putting in all of the work that you hope a big leaguer would put in. Unfortunately, he's just not seeing the results. He's not seeing the results, and he's just not getting anything going. He's not getting anything really positive. I mean, you know it's bad. You know it's bad for you when you get on base. You're able to get on base, and then what happens? You get thrown out. I mean, that is, I mean, you saw in the bottom. So bottom of the second inning, he's up there, sixth pitch of the at-bat, goes down swinging, change up, low and away. And then later in the game, he draws a walk. He's up 3-0 in the count. And then on the sixth pitch, a 3-2 count, he draws a walk, takes a slider down and in. And you're saying, okay, maybe that's just a little something, a little positivity for CT3. Then what happens? He gets picked off. He gets picked off. And that's it. And you saw the frustration. Maybe you just forgot kind of what it was like to be on base. Okay, maybe that was the case with that one. But yeah, it's unfortunate. It's not, as far as like the strikes we've seen, he's been a streaky player. But it's getting to a point where it's a tough watch. It's difficult to watch him in these situations just continuously not being able to perform. And you see him pressing. You can see that he's frustrated and he wants to go out there and perform better. But unfortunately, it's just not happening for him. And that's just the case right now. But really want to start with Kyle Hurt. So Kyle Hurt, he gets the start. He goes out there. Dave Roberts said he was going to have a pitch count. And he was going to throw around 40 to 45 pitches. And for Kyle Hurt, he goes out there and he didn't have his best command early on. He was somehow able to give up those hits and he only threw 24 pitches. He threw 24 pitches. He gave up consecutive back-to-back hits to open the game. But guess what? No runs. I mean, look at the top of the first there. Gives up the single to Abrams on a changeup. Really not a terrible pitch, but nice piece of hitting. And then Winker, he doubles to right. Then Thomas, he singled to right. Gallo, he fouled out. And then Thomas, he stole second, but then Garcia, he lined out to right. So a little bit of a shaky first inning, but then he comes back there in the second inning, strikes out. He comes out the second inning, gets Senzel to ground out, gets Rosario to ground out, gets Milas to fly to left. So really not a bad job by Kyle Hurt in this one, but it wasn't really about the pitches. It was more so about the stress. I mean, he was laboring there in the first inning, did only go 24 pitches. I think easily he could have came out there and pitched another inning, but it was pretty clear to me that they want to limit his innings and not try to overuse him early on this season. Remember, this is someone they think they can work in the zone. They can get swing and miss. You saw his debut, the kind of hitters he can get out. Tatis, Machado, and Soto. They think that he can be a weapon for this team, so they weren't going to push him. But let me know down below in the comment section. Do you think that Hurt should have gone another inning? Would you like to see him go another inning? We got Hello Kitty couldn't even help CT.03. He's done. Maddie Man Dodge, do the players give you a hard time for looking like Will Smith, Doug? We talked about it a couple of different times. I mean, Will Smith and I. But yeah, I know it's these players are busy, man. They're in and out and going through the clubhouse. So yeah, it's good times. But we got flying in for the game tomorrow, Sacramento representing. We got Sacktown in the house. Chief, I can watch Taylor more than I can listen to Jessica Mendoza. Not a fan of Mendoza, I see. The experiment is over, Dave Roberts. Love House Will Smith after the game comes here and makes us think his name is D-Mac. Okay, that's a fire take. That's a fire take. Let's once and for all, we got to do the show at the same time. I'll add a co-host and it'll be Will Smith. We'll prove it to you guys. But hey, until there's that picture of us in the same room at the same time, no comment. But yeah, Kyle Hurt, we got dude, I'll be all over you. Yeah, I mean, that's a funny experience with the players, I'll tell you that much. Hector X, D-Mac needs to take Taylor to a Dodger bar for a few drinks to get him out of his slump, Hector X. Pajes, True Blue, Oral and Joe are the best. I agree. A $9.99 super chat from Tiana. Got to give you one of these. You win. Thank you, D-Mac. I love from Northridge. I appreciate you, Tiana, rocking with us here. 10:26 at night. You guys I love it. You guys watch a 3+ hour game, then rock with us on the post game because you guys are what Dodger baseball is all about. You live and breathe your boys in blue, and yeah, it's my favorite thing. But AJ Alexander, Will Smith in the studio with D-Mac would be epic, LOL. Yeah, I've interviewed him a couple times, talking about the red carpet, blue carpet a couple times, and yeah, he's a fun guy, to be honest. I mean, I know people think he has a dry personality, but you know, he gets loose. I mean, he's has a little bit more of a personality to him. I mean, look at him on the blue carpet. Hopefully, I'll talk to him at the gala on May 2nd. D-Mac is working on an interview with himself. Okay, good time. So, get the knack, my Sharona. That's from Mr. Seabow. I'll give you a fire tag for that one. Okay, so next up, we talked about Andy Pajes. By the way, you guys know I'm not a big victory lap guy, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you I told you so. That's not my thing. But Andy Pajes, he ends up hitting a single to right in his first at bat. And if you saw Dodgers dugout live today in the afternoon, this is what I said.
I just got a hot shot single. I got a hot shot single, finding grass. I mean, let's go to a single to right.
He's going to get a hit tonight for sure, though.
Noel, prediction. Andy Pajes first at bat.
So there you go. Single to right. You guys want the lottery numbers? I got you. We got Will Smith and D-Mac do a shoey together. So the Pajes situation, I think it's pretty simple at this point. We talked about it earlier today. The DFA was going to be Taylor Trammell, and that was ultimately the move. And I think that this Dodgers team, with the way the roster is constructed, if he proves that he can handle big league pitching, I think the best thing for him is to, if he starts off hot, let him get as hot as possible just so they can adjust to him, and then he can slump a little bit and see how he can adjust to a slump, right? Versus if he's slumping at the beginning, then okay, maybe have the conversation. Jason Hayward gets healthy. You send Pajes down. You get him more at-bats at the AAA level. You feel good about the fact that he's gone through the process, played at Dodger Stadium, got a single in his first at-bat. Then you kind of work on that momentum, and you're feeling good about that. But either way, I think that this first part of the season, this team, they've already proven, like, it's not about winning 110, 120 games, 106, 104 games. It's not about that for this team. It's putting together the best roster that can win the World Series. And if you think there's a chance that Pajes can be a part of that puzzle, then this is the perfect time of the year to evaluate, to assess. You have the talent up and down the lineup to score runs. It's really about the pitching right now. But I would love for Pajes to earn it, to earn the role. And look, center field, you saw him starting center today. I mean, you see a platoon situation with James Altman. You could see him in right and then Teoscar go to left. And then Kike Hernandez, give him credit. Kike, he left the yard today. He had his first home run of the season. So that was good for Kike, and he definitely needed that. He definitely needed a home run to really feel good about himself. And you could see there was a lot of frustration. Bottom of the fifth inning, he homers on a 1-0 pitch, 431 feet, got all of it. So he's feeling good about the fact that he gets a home run tonight. But really, you got to give a ton of credit to Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is carrying this team. Mookie Betts might have won the MVP in April. And it all started in the bottom of the first inning. Mookie, 1-2 count, he singles to right. Ohtani, next batter, 0-2 pitch. He gets the bat out there. He puts the bat head on the ball, and it just pokes it right into left field. That sets the Dodgers up with runners on first and second. Freeman draws a walk. Ohtani gets the second. Betts advances to third. He had bases loaded, and Teoscar Hernandez at the plate. First pitch, he grounds into a double play. But Betts is able to score. That puts the Dodgers on top 1-0. And then Kike, he follows that up with a runner on third, and he strikes out swinging. So the Dodgers should have absolutely blown this thing wide open. They should have gone to Patrick Corbin early on and just gone up for the knockout punch. But unfortunately, got one run on two hits. And then later in the second inning, you have Chris Taylor, he strikes out to start the inning. Pajes, we talked about at length today, he singles to right. Let's take a look at it one more time because it's a debut, man. It's a debut. Pajes, he singles to right. Then Miguel Rojas, who's looked really, really decent, really respectable, really professional at the plate, he draws a walk. Pajes advances to second. That sets Barnes up with runners on first to second, and he singles to center. That scores Pajes. By the way, Pajes scoring standing up. Love the speed. Love the athleticism. And then that brings up Mookie Betts. And you got runners on first and on second and third. Betts first pitch slider leaves it up. Mookie crushes it, goes for a double to left. That scores Rojas, and that makes it 3-0. So you're generating runs. Ohtani, he comes up. Runners on second and third. Unfortunately, he grounds out in that situation. Like I said, it was hot off the bat, but didn't get the result. Then Freeman fly to center. So Dodgers get two runs on three hits. They're up 3-0 after two. And then top of the third, Yarbrough in. And Young, he reached on that infield single. Abrams popped a third. And then Winker, he falls behind Winker 3-0 in the count. Then they load it down the sixth pitch. He kind of hangs a curveball, and Winker just crushed it 429 feet. That goes for a two-run shot. That makes it 3-2. So they put a two spot up there in that inning, two runs on two hits. And you're like, okay, they're not going to lose the Nationals again, right? Not the Nationals. Again, we got Enzo Pies will be sent down once Jason Hayward comes back. Look, that's most likely going to be the case. But we'll see if Jason Hayward can replicate the year he had last season. I have my doubts. We got Justin Lamas. I'll take that. Soto hit 35 home runs with a 950 OPS. Exactly. I mean, that's the kind of production that you're hoping to get, right? That is how you win big in this league. So, yeah. And just getting back to kind of what we talked about earlier is, look, Yarbrough, I mean, this guy's solid, man. I mean, give me from a guy who's basically your unofficial sixth starter who's eating these innings in these bullpen games. I mean, going five innings and giving up two runs, you'll take that all day, every day. So kudos to Ryan Yarbrough. I think he did a really nice job. Gave up the home run to Winker, but outside of that, he was really solid. Then jumped to the fifth inning. Freeman strikes out swinging. Freddie Freeman, he's in a slump. One of the worst slumps that he's been in with the Dodgers. Did have an over 20 slump back in 2021, but Freddie typically, just being on the field today, Freddie typically isn't out there doing the batting practice routine in front of the fans that late in the day. And he's out there. He's taking extended batting practice. So he's clearly trying to get more swings in, trying to see more pitches, trying to just find that mechanic and get that to click, right? When you make those mechanical adjustments for Freddie Freeman, it's just about sticking to the routine. That's what Freddie Freeman believes in. I'm going to do the exact same thing when I'm 10 for my last 15, right? I'm going to do the same thing when I'm 10 for my last 30, right? As long as you stick to the same routine and make little tweaks here and there, that's how you sustain. That's how he's been this good for this long. And he's sticking to his routine, but I think it's just a timing, a feel, and a rhythm thing for Freddie Freeman. So I'm not concerned, but bottom of the fifth inning, that's when Kike Hernandez, he crushed the solo shot. That made it 4-2 Dodgers, and then jump all the way to the seventh inning. Where's the run production come from? Mookie Betts. He starts the inning off with a double to center. Really great piece of hitting. A cutter that caught too much of the plate. He gets the barrel on it. He hits a rocket shot to center. That set the Dodgers up with a runner on second. No outs. Shohei, he ends up flying to center. So another missed opportunity with the runners in scoring position. We'll have to pay close attention to that. They intentionally walk Freddie Freeman. And then Law comes in. And Teoscar Hernandez, another great at-bat. I mean, Teoscar is seeing a lot of pitches. He is grinding out at-bats, not going up there, just free swinging. I mean, this is a guy that is absolutely exceeded expectations. He was supposed to rake. He's exceeded those expectations with this team. And seventh pitch of that at-bat, you got runners on the corners. And Teoscar Hernandez, he reached on an infield single to third. Bet scores on the play. That makes it 5-2 Dodgers. And then you jump to the bottom of the eighth. Páez strikes out swinging. Miguel Rojas, really nice job. Gets a one-out double. And then a couple batters later, Mookie Betts at the plate. Runner on second, he singled to right, scoring Rojas to make it 6-2. So, I mean, the offense from Mookie Betts, what he's able to generate. I mean, just look at that piece of hitting right there. I mean, he's just so locked in. Patrick Corbin was no match for Mookie Betts. Just when Mookie is locked in, you see everything in sync. And you're seeing the hips. You're seeing the bat path, the barrel. I mean, this is a Hall of Fame talent that is really having another peak. And you just never know when Mookie's going to peak, but I thought maybe he peaked in 2018 when he won the MVP. I thought maybe he peaked last year when he hit a career-high 39 home runs. But just look at the night for Mookie Betts. 5-for-5, a double, two doubles, two RBIs, two runs, and the third time of his career, he has 5 hits. He singled in the first, scored the Dodgers' first run of the game. That made it 1-0. Good guys. He doubled in a run in the second inning. He singled again the fourth. He cranked another double, and then he scored in the eighth inning, had RBI single in the ninth. I mean, this is someone who's putting up video game numbers right now. Mookie is living his best life, and the Dodgers absolutely need it. He scored 22 runs on the year. That leads all of Major League Baseball. He's slashing .388, .490, .700. So he's absolutely my Dodgers dog of the game. He is absolutely my player of the game. And Mookie Betts is out here just proving that he is still an elite talent. Now, another big takeaway is the bottom of the lineup. This is exactly what you want from the bottom of the lineup. You're not asking for slug every single at-bat. You're not asking for elite hitters. That's why you're at the bottom of the lineup. If you were an elite hitter that was hitting doubles and home runs every at-bat, you wouldn't be batting 7th, 8th, or 9th. No. What we need is guys to get on base. And Páez, I think, gave them some life. I think Páez gave the bottom of the lineup some much-needed juice, a big-time shot in the arm. He goes 1-for-4. Miguel Rojas, he goes 2-for-3. He started at third base. He slid over to shortstop. Later in the game, he goes 2-for-3 with a double. He ends up with a 2-for-3 and a double and a walk. And he also scored 2 runs, right? Austin Barnes, 1-for-4. Austin Barnes hitting .308 on the season. So that's exactly what you want from the bottom of the lineup. Guys can go up there and just get, you know, be gritty, right? Just kind of just gut out at bats, just grind out at bats, and just find a way to get on base so Mookie, Ohtani, and Freddie and Teoscar can do damage. So give them a ton of credit. My big takeaway is, hey, maybe Páez was the life. And it was just one hit, right? It was a single. But still, I think that re-energized the entire bottom of the lineup. And I'm very, very excited to see more of Andy Páez to see if he can build off of that. Now, Chris Taylor, look, all I have to say is when the Phillies gave Trey Turner that standing ovation, I said this in the past as a joke. I'm actually saying this kind of being serious. I mean, maybe you go out there and you give him that ovation. Maybe you show him that love, that support, so he kind of stops pressing the way he is. Maybe that changes things. I mean, Chris Taylor, he struck out. He grounded out on Tuesday. His hitless streak now is at 30 at-bats. 30 at-bats. He did take a walk in the fifth inning, but then what happened? He was picked off trying to steal second base. So, just, man, it's gone from bad to worse. So we're literally talking about the Dodgers potentially flirting with the idea of DFAing him. I mean, obviously, I don't think that'll be the case. I think most likely they are going to try to find a phantom IL situation. But yeah, it's a tough watch, man. It is such a top watch, such a tough watch to see that. And then, yeah, I mean, I think for this team, just in general, Shohei Ohtani, people are freaking out just because of the fact that he is not coming through with runners in scoring position, because he's now 1-for-19. He's hitting .53 with runners in scoring position. He did have a single in the first inning. He did have a single in the ninth inning, but he goes 0-for-3 in the 3 at-bats. In between those singles and all those at-bats, you had ducks on the pond. You had runners in scoring position. So that's 3 at-bats. And it wasn't able to come through. So I think it's a little bit overblown just because, like I said, the ground out there in the first inning, the ground out there in the second inning had a 107.7 exit velocity, had a .360 expected batting average. So if you look at the peripherals, if you look at the expected numbers, he's actually, the expected numbers say he should be hitting .286 with a .318 on base and a .488 slug with runners on scoring position. So all this is to say, do not lose sleep. Do not worry at all about Shohei Ohtani with runners in scoring position. The man is going to be just fine because he's scorching the baseball. He's just running into some bad luck. And I think that you might see him bring his BNC swing possibly just a little bit, especially when there's two outs and certain situations, to just make sure that he's really kind of passing the baton and just generating runs. So, look, I mean, bottom of the lineup, though, I mean, heading into today, they're hitting .162. You get Rojas, like I said, he goes out there, he performs, he hit the ball hard, and he slugs. So, I mean, today, the Dodgers, 7, 8, 9 hitters, they reach base 5 times, and they cross home plate 3 times and had an RBI. So that's where the big takeaways. Mookie went off again. Mookie's ridiculous. He's someone who's running away with the MVP in the National League. Páez looked comfortable. He looked like someone that belongs in the show. And I definitely want to see more of Andy Páez. So there's that. And then, look, the bottom line, they showed up. So you got to feel good about that. So now let's do all your comments for the rest of the show. Let's see if there's anything interesting from Dave Roberts and the gang after this one. I'm pretty sure it was all about Andy Páez. Let's see. Dave was asked about Ohtani with runners in scoring position. And Dave said, we have to temper that back. We'll address that as far as Ohtani's aggressiveness. And he said that he's a little more aggressive than usual. It's from Fabian Ardaya. Interesting. And then Fabian also tweeted out, Dave Roberts confirmed Landon Knack starts and makes his MLB debut tomorrow. So that's no surprise. We've known that for a couple of days now. So that's going to be exciting. Another debut. That was great. Fabian also tweeted that Andy Pod said he wasn't nervous ahead of his big league debut. He was always going to swing at his first pitch in the big leagues. He said that, and now he will give the ball, which was already in a case in his locker, to his wife, Alondra. Aw, that's so sweet. He's going to give the ball to his wife, Alondra. So you got to love that. And like I said, I just always, I get, you know, I just get really excited. I just seeing these guys during spring training. I mean, a lifelong dream was realized today. And he made the most of it. I mean, no one can take that away from him. He could never play another game in Major League Baseball. And he can always go up there and say, you know what? I had a single on my first at-bat, the first pitch that I saw. So that's awesome. Here we go. Dodgers Nation has more breakdowns than the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland. That's a fire take. That's a fire take. I like that one. Yeah, I mean, we definitely, hey, man, this is a, we don't take any days off, man. This is a 24/7 operation. This is a 24/7 operation here at Dodgers Nation. So here we go. Let's go. We got $15 million a year for Whiffy Taylor. Ouch. We got Mr. Copacetic. Have to stomach bad baseball from CT all year for the glimmer of a big postseason hit. Yeah, you hit that one on the nail, Mr. Copacetic. Is, I mean, as great as some of these players are in the regular season that don't perform in the postseason, I mean, sometimes you say, you know what? You live with the bad. You live with the struggles just because there's this thing that you can't explain that happens to this certain type of player that, for whatever reason, when the lights get bright and the pressure's on, they find a way to execute and perform on the highest level, on the biggest stage. And Chris Taylor, he has a long track record of being able to do that. So is that enough, though, to allow him to essentially kind of embarrass himself out there if, let's say, this over 30 goes to over 40? And it goes for over 50 and over 60. And it really starts to pile up. At some point, you're hurting the player because it's just, there's something wrong at that point. There's something wrong. I mean, typically players, when they struggle, when they fall off, it's because of two things. It's injuries and it's age. And look, there's like bacon, beer, the 72 Dolphins. Those are the only things in Father of Time. Those are the four things that are undefeated in life, right? And I think he's lost some quick twitch. I really do. I think he's lost some of that violence in his swing that you see. If you don't have all the muscle fibers firing on all cylinders and you're just losing a little quick twitch, big league pitching is extremely difficult to hit, so I agree with that. CT3 used to choke up on the bat. That's what Mark Monzon. He did choke up at certain times, and you are seeing the feet, I think, before the pitch. There's a little bit of happy feet there that we've seen in the past, but I think that it is a little more pronounced right now. And I just think he's just selling out on certain pitches. I mean, it's very difficult when pitchers know your struggle areas, right, and your cold zones, and they're going to try to exploit those. It's almost like he's swinging as hard as he can and hoping something good happens. You can't do that in Major League Baseball. I mean, you got to get bat to ball, right? You got to cover the entire plate. You have to go swinging inside the baseball. I mean, I think for him, it's kind of getting back to basics and trying to just maybe reinvent himself a little bit. He did it in the past. Maybe he could try that again. But I do think there needs to be a little bit of a reinvention versus, you know what, we're going to do what worked back in 2017, 18, 19, and just hope that we could just do that again. When you don't have a natural swing, it's very difficult to do that at this level. It's damn near impossible. Super chat over here from K Casino. Let's say at the casino. Doug, do we give up on Bush too soon? I don't know about you guys, but how long are we going to give Max Muncy a pass? His defense is subpar, and he's just not the clutch bat that he once was. K Casino. So let's unpack this a little bit. Yes, Michael Bush is hotter than the devil's armpit right now. Michael Bush is out there performing like an all-star. He probably could make the all-star team if he plays at this pace for the next couple of months. Let's not forget, though, Max Muncy, we just talked about postseason proven players. Max Muncy certainly has had a ton of success in the postseason. Here's the thing about Max Muncy. I mean, he's having a good year. He's having a decent season. He's an above-average offensive player. Max Muncy. Max Muncy is hitting .262. Ignore that. He has a .130 weighted runs created plus. So offensively, Max Muncy is 30% above league average. 30% above league average. And what more could you ask for him? I mean, the defense has actually gotten better. I mean, when's the last time Muncy made an error that hurt the Dodgers, right? It's been a while, right? I mean, if you look at his competition at that position, I mean, if you look at, so Ryan McMahon of the Colorado Rockies. So for all third basemen in all of Major League Baseball, with a minimum of 70 plate appearances, Ryan McMahon has a .147 weighted runs created plus. So weighted runs created plus, it's a scale of, you know, 100 is average, right? It's park adjusted. It's based on weighted on base average. It's a great statistic to evaluate overall offensive production, right? 100 is league average, right? Max Muncy is at 130. That's second in all of Major League Baseball behind Ryan McMahon. His weighted runs created plus is actually higher than Austin Riley. It's higher than Ke'Bryan Hayes. It's higher than Nolan Arenado's. It's higher than Matt Chapman's, right? And look at Chapman has a... Nolan Arenado's been a below average offensive player. Matt Chapman has been damn near awful. Matt Chapman is in bust mode with the Giants so far when you look at the contract they gave him. Also, Max Muncy has four home runs. That's twice. That's one more than Matt Chapman. That leads the league for third basemen that have a minimum of 70 plate appearances. So, look, I mean, I think we need to put a little more respect on Max Muncy's name. But, I mean, you got Paredes from Tampa Bay. He has five with less plate appearances, and he's been really, really good this season. But it's been a slow start for Jose Ramirez. It's been a slow start for Rafael Devers. Hasn't gotten off to the best starts, around league average. So when you break it down, when you get inside the numbers, Max Muncy's been pretty decent. As far as Michael Busch, they just weren't going to place him anywhere where they could have possibly used him. They didn't think internally, I can tell you this from talking to people, they didn't think that he had the range to play second base. And also Mookie Betts was going to play that position. Third base, I think he could have gotten it done, but they trust Max Muncy, and they got him back on a team-friendly deal. The outfield spots, you brought in Teoscar Hernandez, you have Páez, right? You have certain guys, Miguel Vargas, who they were higher on. But, yeah, look, if he goes on to be that 8-time All-Star, if he goes on to win an MVP and hit 30 home runs for the next 6 or 7 years, yeah, maybe it was the wrong decision. Maybe you could have lived with him at third base. But Max Muncy, since he put on that Dodgers uniform, no one has hit more home runs than Max Muncy. I mean, he's been their most prolific home run hitter. But let's couple more comments here, and we'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. D-Mac, you need a pledge to stop drinking until CT3 gets a hit. That's from Myria Jones. Yeah, we'll do something. What are we going to do? Well, yeah, maybe I'll cut back on the Modelos and Pacificos for sure. My wife told me I'm spending more time with you than I am with her. I told her to talk about the Dodgers and Mitchell Hopkins. You're killing me. It's a fire take. Mookie, 5 for 5 MVP. Cowboys, 5 rings. So many shows, so little time. What up, David Sabatini? Rock with us from New York. D-Mac, what up, Low Blue, over on YouTube. So, yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, we got Alexander says Muncy is hitting fine. His defense is doing okay as well. Don't know what that dude is smoking, who's hating on Max Muncy. Look, I think he gets a bad rap. And honestly, like I said, everyone's opinion is welcome here, guys. This is a safe environment to talk Dodger baseball. We don't always have to agree. I just care that you watch and listen, okay? That's the only thing I care about. But it's great when we do agree, though. But yeah, we got Jay Kidd. Max Muncy leads the league in striking out the runners in scoring position. I lost count at 30 runners. He's been boom or bust, okay? That's the real rub on Max Muncy. He's striking out way too much, okay? This is uncharacteristic. Max Muncy is striking out a 35.1% clip. For his career, that number's at 24.8%. So he's got to get back to the player that he was, not expanding the zone. Sometimes he does look a little overmatched on certain fastballs and certain counts, but for the most part, if you look at everything in its totality, the production has been there. But yeah, absolutely agree, J Kidd. The runner in scoring position hitting around 200, definitely needs to increase that mark. But he's also hit some pretty big time home runs too. I mean, just the other night, I mean, he hits a big time home run. So you definitely need that. But Muncy's defense has been decent as of late. Yeah, the best thing about Max Muncy's defense is when we don't even mention it. We don't say he made a great play. We don't say he went out there as a gold glover. The best thing about Max Muncy's defense is when we just don't talk about it at all. It's like when you don't talk about your kicker, when you don't talk about your offensive line in football, that's a good thing. That just means they're getting their job done. That's what we need to see with Max Muncy. Cowboys, five rings, $19.99. I'm going to use that for some carne asada fries. Going to pay off Ipe's debt. D-Mac, the real MVP. Appreciate you for that. Samuel Ito, D-Mac, do you think we should use Ohtani in the outfield trade deadline, get another bat? Outfield needs help. Look, I'll tell you this. I mean, earlier today, I was on the field and Shohei was throwing, and Shohei was just going through his routine. Let me see if I can put it up here a little bit. He was going through that routine and there you go. And just look at him right here. I mean, he looks confident. He's going through his routine and going through the rehab process. And look, what I've heard about Shohei Ohtani is he loves to pitch, but he lives to hit. And hey, who knows? Who knows? I mean, they're not going to say it, but World Series, Ohtani, final out, just like we saw in the WBC. Who knows? Crazier things have happened. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Dodgers Nation Post Game Show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC _LA. Ricky Vasquez, DMAC, Páez for president. That's a fire take. A couple more walk-off shots here. David Hurd, when are we going to get Walker back? We need a starter back with Bobby gone. Yeah, I mean, Walker's on the fast track. I mean, we could see him by the end of this month. Roy Estrada, how is Nack's control? Hey, he's got a knack for great control. I mean, this is a guy who's a four-pitch pitcher, very polished. Is he going to break our walk record, a go-after Glasnow strikeout record? I would say he's going to be right in the middle. He's someone that profiles as a back-end starter. Don't expect a future ace. That's not what he is. At best, maybe he's a number three, a mid-tier starter, which, guess what, is something that's very... you should be proud to accomplish, right? But he's projected more of a back-end style. He's been compared to kind of the Lucas Giolito. That's what Casey Porter, my friend, likes to say about him. Your CT3 is a 3-0 count, and you swing Ray Soto. Yeah, I mean, they're basically telling Chris Taylor, look, you've been here for a while. We consider you a core guy. If you want to swing 3-0 because you think that you're going to connect on something that's going to really let something click, they're going to do that. And that's really kind of what they're about, is just kind of giving some of their veterans, some of their core players, the leash and the runway to go out there and see what they can do. And fortunately, it just hasn't happened. But that's going to do it, guys. My name is Doug McCann. Like I said, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at DMAC _LA. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.